That's what. Chapter 1, Partnering with God 2024. It's a big deal. Chapter 1. It begins here. Right here, right now. Hopefully you and I never forget that. The first time I wrote this chapter, I could have never known the path I was about to engage. I could have never known. I thought I was writing myself a couple of notes, right? A little of this and a little of that. Better jot it down and put it in a notebook somewhere, right? I could have never known. Or the knowledge that the Lord would pour out into my skull. Is there a key here? Yeah, I had to listen. Was it easy to listen? It was hard to take it all in. It was hard. And I wanted it. I wanted to do better. But it was hard to take it all in. And it required a lot of prayer to engage it correctly. At the very beginning, did I do that? I didn't do anything right at the beginning. But as I look back, what did I have? Nothing. I only had God. But now that I am here, so many years later, what is it that is the strength common denominator of everything? Faith. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. What was I going to do with that at the beginning of my walk? What does that mean? It's hard. Faith, what is that? The evidence of things not seen. Ooh. What is that? Well, you have faith in a seatbelt, don't you? Yeah, you buckle your seatbelt. You have faith that's going to hold you in. You have faith in your truck. It'll start in the morning. In your glasses, you'll be able to see. In your morning coffee. Faith is real. Depending on what you have faith in. Faith in yourself? ? Sketchy. That got me in a lot of trouble. Faith in a hammer? Well, that's pretty good. A hammer is a hammer is a hammer. Faith. Pick it up and slam it down. It's going to slam down. It always works. Faith in Jesus Christ? Solid. Solid. That always works as well. Actually better than anything listed here. You got to know how to handle, you know, a hammer. You got to know how to buckle a seatbelt. Got to know how to drive your truck. You got to know how to wear your glasses, get the right glasses. You got to know how to make coffee. Jesus knows how to make you. That's a real big plus to start with, right? What is the evidence of things not seen? The earth. The evidence of things not seen. The earth. What do you mean, the earth? I see the earth. Yeah. Well, I didn't see him create it, but Scripture says he did. How else did it get here? Science? Okay, let's look at that. Do you know that if the entire universe et al, the entire universe was aligned a little to the left or the right, a little up or a little down, by an infinitesimal amount, so small it's immeasurable. Do you know if it was out of alignment, even an infinitesimal amount, so small it's not even measurable? Do you know if that happened, the earth could not exist? Nor could the galaxy or the universe itself. Science, I think not. Science gets on the back of the Creator, it would appear, created by him as well. On the third day, he rose from the dead. What is the evidence? That he rose from the dead. It's documented. He walked around on the earth for 40 days. I didn't see it, but I know it happened. It's documented. So when he says a new creation in Christ, what's that? What evidence is that? You. The you before Christ and the you after. You think you'd really be on this phone if you weren't a new creation in Christ? Would you take the time to listen to a guy like me? No, you would not. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. What's that? That's you. Here and now. You. The evidence of things not unseen. The evidence of things not seen. That's you coming soon. The substance of things hoped for. That's you in the mirror right now. Things unseen, that's what's coming. And what he has done in you today that will achieve that. As the world changes for the worst, less and less people care about church, and less care about the word. Even so, those who still do are fortunately in varying degrees, unfortunately in varying degrees of understanding God. Well, why is that? No, not everybody can be in the same place. No, but that's not the problem. I understand everybody can't be in the same place, but you know what the problem is? True teachers of God are few and far between. But man, there's a lot of posers. Again, unfortunately. 2 Peter 2, but there were also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, denying the sovereign Lord who bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. Many will follow their depraved conduct and will bring the way of truth into disrepute. Yeah, it's here. Scripture said it would come. In the end times, it would come. Well, it's always been here, but in the end times, it's certainly more evident. Chapter 1 is the quintessential beginning, a journey of learning, training, testing, retesting, committing, recommitting to Jesus Christ. There's very few corporate leaders, CEOs, owners, or political leaders partnering with God. Let's hope you and I are among the remnant. To have 20 CEOs, millions of dollars on this call, that believe in God, that are yearning for the Lord, that's a big deal. It's a miracle. Jeremiah 6:16. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. But you said we will not walk in it. Oh my goodness. But you are asking and you're on the phone. The whole world says, I don't think so. I don't think so. I think I'll just live in crazy chaos. I'm driving here. I didn't sign up for this. All of it, right? Well, what if you don't say that? Joel 2:25, 32. What if you say, God, help me? Well, he says a few promises and he never lies. Joel 2:25, 32. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. That's a serious phrase, man. Everything that was taken from you, everything you blew it up, everything you wasted, he says, I will restore to you. Joel 2:25. Come on, dig it. If you are a person reading these notes for the first time or listening to me, your life, company, and family are at risk now and all the time. What? All the time? I thought if you said I partner up, it's okay. Well, you will be tested all the time. If you have heard this lesson, if you are new or just remembering what this means, you're at risk all the time. The devil's after you all the time, especially if you are a true believer. Not a casual believer, a Sunday afternoon. Yeah, I went to church and then I went out and cussed everybody out on the freeway. True believer. If you've heard this lesson before, more than once, you are a traveler, aren't you? And the Lord is in you. And he has given you many gifts to be used for kingdom work. Many gifts. Your example, bringing hope to the hopeless. Well, these are divine gifts. You got to go to God to figure out how to use them. You're not a divine guy. He's a divine God, and he gave you divine miracles. You got to call him up and say, collect call from goofball number 3. How do I use this divine gift? And he says, glad you called. Sure, I'll take the call. So I want you to remember something. I said the same prayer you did so many years ago. You're all familiar with it. Lord, get me out of this. Or through this, and I promise to do whatever you put in front of me and to do it my better than my best. To do it better than my best for the rest of my life. I didn't know what I was saying. Did he answer that prayer? Right then and there. Listen to me when I talk about the chapter the day he opened my eyes. Right then and there. I asked for his guidance in return for my obedience. And he agreed. Ha! On some days I do better than others, and some days I do not better than others. Oh my. I realized to do better than my best, I got to have him. But I always get another shot. In the blood of Christ, I get another day. In his mercy, I get another day. Galatians 1:11. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. What's that you say there, Patrick? What is that you say? It's in the book, the word with a capital W. If you don't read it, you can't lead if you don't read. My friends, the ones who fall away, not so good. I've seen it with my own eyes. And those things that I've seen wake me up at night in terror, remembering my own poor choices. Oh, yeah, people find God, and then they fall right back in their old habits. This is chapter one, partnering with God. Partner with God and make it forever, if you can, if you can. If the devil can interrupt your destiny with God, God is sad. It'd be by your own hand. You'd be the one that made the change. And if you fall away from God, after you have found God and the Holy Spirit, you'll never know what you missed if you fall away. You know what the travesty is, the bummer? Is your children will not see the glory of what God could have done with you. Oh yeah, think about that. Stay the course, man. Wake up and deal with God. All the time, anytime, right now time. He gives you three tools to work with: prayer, the word, and fellowship. But you gotta know what you're doing. Do you? No. Do you go to school for that? No. Well, God's school, the Holy Spirit. Use them promptly and with discernment from the direction of the Holy Spirit in all these matters. How do you do that? Prayer. Find God in everything. Find God and the original blueprint he designed in you for you to achieve and benefit all things in your life. The original blueprint of you designed by God for you before time itself was created. Doesn't that sound like a blast? How many people argue with, well, I don't know if I like that original blueprint. How do you know what's going to happen? You do not know. Deuteronomy 6:6, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. He restores everything in my life from nothing. Keep in mind, you didn't do any of it. I didn't do any of it. What has happened to you, you did not do. You on this phone making money in this business, you did not do that. He opened doors for you that could not be closed and closed doors that could not be opened. I cannot, not without him. I ride the train the Lord provided and did what he asked along the way. Sometimes, as I've said, better than others. Sometimes I failed, whatever the case, in his grace, he picked me up and put me back on track. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Jesus Christ, the very first turnaround Jedi Master, handed me the first of two lessons and perhaps the toughest of all to remember. How did they come? How did these tests come? How did these lessons come? They came in the book. Matthew 6:33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Wow, that's a pretty big responsibility for the day. How do I do that? Luke 16:10. One who is faithful in a very little is also faithful in much. And one who is dishonest in a very little is also dishonest in much. Yeah, that gives me something to think about, doesn't it? Money, property, and prestige. Boy, I chased that for a while, didn't I? Could not be obtained honorably, I can tell you that. Money, property, and prestige cannot be obtained honorably or kept by any noble means. Not for me, anyway. Remember that. Money, property, and prestige comes under the heading of a false god. I gotta have it. If I got that, I'll be okay. I gotta give everything to money, property, and prestige. My company has to be more, 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 more. Watch yourself. Because on the other hand, the gifts from God are people, places, and things. To be tended to, respected, cultivated, the people in your life, the places he gives you to live, the things that you have to take care of business every day, cultivated, purposed for God's work in you. Our homes, money, corporations, all of it is our ministry. I've said it before and I say it now, everything in my house has a job. Everything, trucks, motorcycles, anything, it all has a job. It has something that it's doing so that I can sustain and do the work that God has me do today. The list he gave me today, our homes, money, corporations, all of it is our ministry. Money, property, and prestige, it's a false god. No matter how I slice it in my life, it's a false god. And not only is it temporary, boy, is money temporary. Am I right? Wow. One day, boy, you're all rolling in the dough. And the next day, not so much. And in the long run, it could be forever without God if you get too crazy about stuff. Ecclesiastes 5, whoever loves money never has enough. You ever notice that? Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. Ecclesiastes 5:10. You want to know what God's will is? Everybody asks that. Well, I don't know what God's will is. Well, let me tell you how I figured out what God's will. It's what I don't want to do. Pretty much generally, what I don't want to do is God's will for me. It's what I stubbornly won't change. And I keep praying about it. You got to be careful of this stuff. Don't be one of those people that keeps praying about it because you don't like the answer. Oh, he hasn't answered me. I got to keep praying. I'll bet you he has answered you. You just don't like the answer. And you keep praying until he sees it your way, or you think he does. If you're not careful, you'll pray until you do the wrong thing. And the wrong thing wastes a lot of time, and it can be quite dangerous. Genesis 4, 6. If you do well, will you not be accepted? Question mark. And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. How do you do well? You obey the prayer, the answer to the prayer. Yeah, everybody says, like I said to one of my clients one time, will you do anything to keep your company, anything legal? Will you do anything legal to keep your company? He's like, yeah, I'll do anything. I want to keep my company. I go, okay, then tell your wife you refied your house when she didn't know it and the whole thing's maxed out and you don't own it anymore. The bank owns it. Well, he said, I'm not going to do that. Aren't we like that with God? What do you mean I got to do that? Well, I was thinking about something else. Why can't I do it the way I was thinking of it? What's the difference between a believer who goes sideways and a believer who does not? Well, there's really no such thing as a believer or a non-believer. Anybody that goes sideways, goes sideways. It's an equal opportunity employer, isn't it? A believer that goes sideways just does, same as a non-believer. Faith is the difference. Well, it can be. Fear is the problem, always. Fear of looking bad, fear of failing, fear of running out. Fear is without faith. We are all susceptible to falling, slipping, sinning, corruption, all of it. Beware and remember the solution. Partnering with God. Partnering with God. Proverbs 3, 5, 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him and he will make your path straight. Think about that, man. You know, it's like bookkeepers. Bookkeepers get the message, get the information after the fact. After you've spent all the money, then a bookkeeper gets that information and logs it. A controller gets all that information before you spend it. People don't know the difference between a controller and a bookkeeper. A controller gets all that before. A controller talks to you about it before you spend it. A bookkeeper just logs it after you spend it. Isn't that the way we do with the Lord? We pray to him after we blow it, after we did it, instead of talking to him about it as we're going in the chute. The Lord is the controller over everything if chapter one is in motion, partnering with God. Be aware, kids, your success, your everything, be advised, you did not do this good thing that has happened to you. Stay the course he has given. And the only way you can do that is with him. You can't stay the course by yourself. And unfortunately, there are those who return to their old ways, and the result is heartbreaking for me to watch it. And it will be for you too. Proverbs 26:11 is a hard one, man. As a dog returns to its vomit, so fools repeat their folly. Oh, my. Have I seen it? Witnessed it? Do I want to avoid it? I hope you're there to smack me back on the path if I decide I got a good idea. What happens if you stay the course? Dig that. What happens if you stay the course? If you realize what you have. If you read the Bible every day, if you listen in church every week, if you tithe and be grateful for it, if you fall and get up in prayer, if you sin and repent in earnest, if you hurt others and say you're sorry, if you pray always every morning and through the day, asking for direction and realization and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, what happens if you continue this kind of behavior day after day, month after month? What happens if you realize how much time you've wasted and how many times God saved you from yourself and you didn't even know it? Philippians 4:7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That is a promise, and God never lies. He will give you what you need, perhaps not what you want, but what you need. Man, if I got everything I wanted, I'd be in jail right now. I would have messed that. I would have been wiped out. I'd probably be dead. If I'd have got what I wanted. Thankfully, God protected me from what I wanted, and he gave me what I needed. Isaiah 35:8, a highway shall be there, and a road, and it shall be called the highway of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for others. Whoever walks the road, although a fool, shall not go astray. Am I a fool? Oh my goodness, am I a fool? How do I know that? I have historical evidence, man. I'm an overachiever when it comes to foolishness. But if my heart is with God, he won't let me fall off the road. Well, no, he'll let me fall down on the road, but he helps me get up. And it says here, I shall not go astray because he's what? Watching over me, that's what. We're all foolish and petty, I tell you, petty. There are mistakes and consequences for our actions. Yes, there are consequences. I call it a parking ticket. There are consequences. Yet still he loves us. Teacher, Father, Savior, our God keeps us on the road. The highway of holiness. He knows your heart. Proverbs 3:11, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as a father, the son he delights in. Wow. Revelations 21:8. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, they will be consigned to the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death. Wow. If I wanted to break that down, do I really want to? No, I just don't want any part of it, okay? Top one, the one above that seemed better. Do not despise the Lord's discipline. Yeah, I think I'd rather go with the discipline instead of the second death here. I that doesn't sound good. And in case you were wondering if it sounds good to people that are still alive for a second more, this is what a couple of people said on their way out. Thomas Paine, a leading atheist, author, he wrote a book called The Age of Reason. Paine rejected the Bible and Christ. He said on his deathbed, I would give worlds if I had them, that the Age of Reason, the book I wrote, had never been published. Oh, Lord, help me. Christ, help me, for I am on the edge of hell here alone. If ever the devil had an agent, I have been that one. He was crying out to the Lord on his deathbed. He knew he was on the side of heaven. He had written a book that took people astray. The Bible says that's a very bad thing. He rejected the Bible and Christ, promoting his own assumptions and myths. We talked about that. Dave Hume, also a famous atheist philosopher, cried loud on his bed, "I am in flames." His friends who stood by were quoted to say, "It was a horrible thing to watch his desperation and anguish as he slipped away." I don't know what that is exactly. Yeah, I do. It's written in the book. Jesus talked more about hell than he did everything else. We've all been here, hell on earth. We might as well try it God's way. Chapter 1, partnering with God. We might as well try God's way. And I've saved the most disturbing example for last. Anton Levy. He is a famous author of the Satanic Bible. High priest in the Church of Satan. Oh, wow. That sounds like a terrible position. On his deathbed, these were his final words. Oh, no. Oh, my. What have I done? There is something very wrong. There is something very wrong. That was his last set of language. I have been sharing this testimony for many, many years. Those who listen and stay in the moment, Christian believers with a capital B, they do better. They have faith. They got a lot of tools with them. They got fellowship, the word, prayer, church. They got stuff. They got God with a capital G. Not the God they made up. Not some God they made up. How often do I hear, "My God is a God of love. He doesn't do all those things." Hey, listen, I didn't write it. I'm just telling you what it says. It doesn't give you options on God. This is the God we've got. Are you be afraid of him? I think it's a really good idea to fear God. Really good idea. Fear God. He is all powerful. He's done some very powerful things. And I also don't want to be without him. I don't want to be without him. Those who don't live, those who don't believe, they live in the future. Dimension jumping into what could be, should be, might be, wanna be, used to be, all of it, testing theories and entertaining different paths, looking for something else. Kids, wasting time is an equal opportunity employer, isn't it? For believers and non-believers alike, equal opportunity employer. If you have found Jesus, do what is right in his eyes. Do yourself a favor. Do what is right in his eyes, not yours. And make sure you know the difference. Once the ship, your ship, is set right by the hand of God, stay the course. Do not deviate. Do not let yourself or others tempt away what is now surely yours. Don't let people, the world, tempt you away from what is now surely yours. This path you are on in chapter 1, partnering with God, don't let somebody bamboozle you out of it. He has given you a path that you can offer up in the Lord from now on. It says in the book, he takes care of his own. If you are working for him, look at David. He was impenetrable. With all the goofy sins that he did and all the things, he was for God, doing God's work, and he lived a long time. All of them did. But I got to tell you, it ain't an easy life. Well, it wasn't an easy life without him. Remember that? Zechariah 9:12, "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners who have the hope. This very day I am declaring that I will restore double to you." Well, that sounds pretty good. Psalm 18:6, "In my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears." Yeah, that sounds pretty good. Psalm 18:16, "He reached down from on high and took hold of me, drew me out of deep waters, rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me." Sounds a lot like debt, doesn't it? "They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me." Wow, man, come on. God does not lie. He gives you what you need. The devil lies. He gives you what you want. He says, I'll give you what you want. He told Jesus on the mountain, I'll give you everything. He's a liar. He's a liar. And Jesus gave us scripture. What to say to the devil? Beat it, Satan. Beat it. If you get what I'm saying, praise God. If you don't, I get that too. I get it. You're not alone. You're not alone. I get it. The world is with you too. And the world is not God. You get it? I know when people don't get it. I was that person. In that headspace, you could be me before the fall. You could be me before God brought me. Man, he brought me to bear. And I wouldn't wish that on anybody. Use your talents for God. Use everything you have to do better than your best and to ask him how to do better than your best. Because why? Because your very best thinking got you in more trouble than you could ever imagine. Your very best thinking, my very best thinking, can get me put in jail. Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Hey, come on. You get a free pass. You're out of trouble. Well, you're into the Lord. He has, yes, and yes, you have been forgiven. Your sins have been forgiven by believing in Christ, 2 Corinthians 4:18. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Chapter 1, Partnering with God. I hope you get it. Your children hope you get it. God hopes you get it. You hope you get it. And I hope you keep it. And I hope the same for myself. I hope I keep it. The devil is out there and he wants to kill, steal, and destroy and interrupt the career that God had planned for you before time itself. Chapter 1, Partnering with God, 2024. Amen, amen. Johnny, let's get these people back to work.